It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kay Darcher-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last month after taking office, the Trump administration issued a freeze on public communications from federal health agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC.
For decades, the CDC has issued a scientific report called the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report with important data and recommendations for local public health departments.
But that report wasn't published on its normal schedule after the inauguration, leaving local health departments out of the loop on major developments like the spread of avian flu. A new report came out on February 6th, but the content focusing on wildfire smoke and health was not what many public health experts had expected.
That is just one of many information sources that have been paused, taken offline, or edited in the last few weeks, and concerns from some federal health officials that Trump appointees are exerting undue political influence over public health communication.
What does it all mean here in Wisconsin? Dr. Patrick Remington is professor emeritus from the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW-Madison. He serves on the editorial board of the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Can you tell us about this MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, long-running publication from the CDC? What is it? What does it mean to public health departments?
Well, What it is in the name. It's a weekly report that the CDC has published for over six decades, where it mostly releases information about infectious disease outbreaks, but more recently, much more information generally about public health. It comes out weekly. In fact, when I was a college student and medical student here at UW, I used to get it for free. It was mailed to our apartment, and it's one of the reasons I became interested in public health, to see this information every week about outbreaks around the country, about investigations, about both routine things like influenza, but also unusual things like AIDS. When AIDS came out, we didn't know the cause of AIDS, and the MMWR was vital in sharing information about what we knew, what we didn't know, and getting to the root causes of that outbreak, and, you know, many, many infectious diseases since that time.
So a pause of at least a couple of weeks, and there are questions about the report that did come out. What does that mean if public health officials, doctors and others aren't seeing that report on a weekly basis?
Well, it's a great concern. I understand some of the policies of the current administration to really put a pause on information that's coming out, to check them for perhaps political concerns. But the MMWR is about as vital to public health practice as anything the CDC does. It's not just local and state health departments that rely on the information, but also practicing physicians. In fact, all of us, if a child gets an illness, a respiratory illness, and you're wondering what it might be, you visit your pediatrician. If he or she has seen a report in the MMWR about a certain type of pneumonia going around, walking pneumonia or mycoplasmal pneumonia, then you are better informed about that diagnosis. You know that this might not be a virus. It could be bacterial. Maybe I should do some more testing. Maybe antibiotics would be warranted. So it affects the treatment of illnesses with the information about what's happening in public health.
Now, just in the news over the last week, I'm seeing concerns about a measles outbreak in Texas, ongoing tuberculosis problem in Kansas, salmonella outbreak from imported pastries, and of course, ongoing worries, you know, when and how would avian flu show up in more people? Are those the sort of things that might show up in a report like this that would help those pediatricians and others watch for these emerging diseases and might show up in MMWR?
Well, absolutely. The purpose of public health is to take a 30,000-foot view of the health of populations. Clinicians and health practitioners treat patients one by one, but sometimes that bird's-eye view, you lose the perspective of what might be happening around you. A good example is a person got sick in September with a very serious disease, hemolytic uremic syndrome, and eventually 100 people were identified as being sick in 14 states. About a third of them were hospitalized, one died. And if we didn't have Public Health Surveillance and the MMWR, it published about 5 reports on that outbreak. That was determined to be caused by E. coli, a specific kind of E. coli that's very serious. And through epidemiology, discovered that fresh onions in McDonald's quarter pounders were responsible. That allowed the FDA, the state and local health departments to intervene, to remove food that may be contaminated, allowed individuals to make their own individual choices. So that's just a recent example of how vital this information is, but it may not be good for business. McDonald's stock took a dip. Profits were off because of loss of sales. So that's a great example where vital public health information is shared, but because of the outbreak, it may have political implications. It may have economic implications for businesses. And that dynamic tension between public health and politics sometimes plays out right in the pages of the MMWR.
We're talking about the Trump administration handling of public health information, a pause on CDC and other communications, what that means here in Wisconsin. Dr. Patrick Remington is with us, Professor Emeritus from UW-Madison, editorial board member of the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Looking at the CDC website now, there's a little heading. CDC's website is being modified to comply with President Trump's executive orders. And a lot of the explanation for the pause has been orders related to transgender identity, to gender. And some of the reports, some authors have said their publications have been held because they might be looking at risk of suicide or AIDS treatment, things like that. And there are specific statistics for people who are transgender in those reports. Is it important if people are out there identifying as transgender to include them in health statistics, or do we lose something if they're effectively erased from this kind of reporting?
Well, this may be the most visible issue, the concern about those words. And with this capacity of artificial intelligence to search not just headings, but entire text, you can find these words. And the administration is clearly concerned about the use of these terms in public health and public health practice. It doesn't make these issues go away. It's simply you're putting your head in the ground and ignoring the fact that risk of disease can be different depending on people's gender orientation. So risk of suicide is another good example where we need to understand what the epidemiology of public health problems are and learn as much as we can about society and about different groups in society. So, but those are clearly instructions that have been carried out. If you look on the internet, there are a number of papers that have been withdrawn, pulled back because of the use of these certain terms. My hope is that the fundamental practice of public health continues, that we get through this issue of concerns about terminology, and then we go back to the routine practice of public health where information is shared as soon as we know it to people who need that information in order to protect public health.
Dr. Remington, part of why we reached out to you, apart from your public health expertise, is you are an editorial board member for the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Do you get communications that the rest of us don't? Have there been explanations or anything like that going to you as a board member about why these changes, why these pauses?
Well, we've been talking as a board, one important thing is sometimes the information that comes out in the news is not entirely correct. Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful to check your sources and fact check. So right now, we think that the information is coming out from CDC as it is developed. So we're put on pause as far as reacting and going public with our concern. I think it's good to know that the information is back to coming out, that the MMWR is back to being a weekly report. But we have to be vigilant that the minute information is withheld that is vital to public health, that's a policy decision that's having effect on health across the nation. And just imagine if information about E. coli with concerns about the business implications were withheld, we could have had hundreds or thousands more people get sick, and some of those die because of political concerns. And that's just, to me, not acceptable.
In our last minute or so, Dr. Redmond, can you talk directly to people in Wisconsin who may not be healthcare providers, not in public health, and think, okay, this is just some bureaucratic wrangling in Washington? How could this impact people's daily lives?
Well, again, we don't often realize what goes on in state and local health departments or even in our doctor's offices. It's important that every individual who has a health concern see your physician and talk about the care that's needed, but realize that the care that's provided individually is informed by information about what's happening in the community. And that extends from influenza to foodborne outbreaks. And this is going on constantly in the background. Public health is not very visible. I think it's really important, though, that if information is being paused or withheld, that the public's health will be threatened. And so I just advocate for free and fair and open sharing of information, and don't let politics get in the way of public health.
Dr. Remington, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor emeritus from the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He serves on the editorial board of the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. He joins us to talk about the Trump administration's freeze on communications from federal health agencies like the CDC, a pause, some things have gone back online, and how that all affects public health departments and, as we just heard, the treatment of patients here in Wisconsin.